the Fair Intellectuals, a club of high degree. Hish, Bell, and Allison, and Gurwee, Marjorie. And we're all gone east and west, we're all gone IAG. Hish, Bell, and Allison, and Gurwee, Marjorie.
Notes for our meeting on the second Thursday following the feast day of St. Martin the Humdrum. These notes are written by me, Club Secretary Miss Ishbel Duncan, leading light of Edinburgh society and owner of the most impressive bosom in Midlothian. And the borders. This week, in our secret association for the scholarly advancement of ladies, we will be discussing...
Hello, Ishbel.
Oh, Marjorie, I was just setting out the agenda for this week's meeting.
Excellent. I have a most exciting topic.
Oh, really? Is it to be as thrilling as last week's What the Bible Teaches Us About Goat Husbandry?
No, it's biblical advice on overcoming temptations.
There is a fascinating passage in the Book of Kings about not coveting another man's hoe.
Oh, Marjorie! What about the Song of Solomon? Do you and your fiancé, Mr. Bogart, ever read those sensuous passages together?
Oh, no!
The poor man suffers from sclerotic kidneys, so his physician insists that all blood flow must be maintained to his vital organs and not diverted elsewhere. The Book of Solomon would be far too fruity for him.
Oh, that reminds me. There's something I must show you.
Dear God, what is it? What monstrous creation of Satan? The spikes, the prickles.
It is a pineapple.
I don't trust it one bit. What do you do with it?
Why, dearest, it is a fruit from West India. By all accounts, its firm, succulent flesh tastes as sweet as a kiss from the angels themselves.
I don't like all this talk of firm, succulent flesh. What's wrong with a nice bowl of tepid, salty porridge?
Oh, you're so unadventurous, Marjorie.
I am not. Mr. Bogart brought me some desiccated figs once as a gift.
Oh, figs.
Although they did send Mr. Bogart's bowels into quite a vicious spasm. We were forced to abandon our game of Old Testament snap and resuscitate the dog.
Sadly, I will never taste the sweet pineapple flesh. We have merely rented the fruit as a centrepiece. My father paid 5 guineas.
Such extravagance!
If we wanted to eat it, it would have cost 20 guineas.
That would keep me in porridge for life.
I know! This is why I must ensure it stays safe. My father says that if anything happens to it, I shall be confined to the house for 1 month. Imagine how miserable that would be.
Well, I would, of course, come and keep you company.
Exactly. We must guard this pineapple with our lives.
Shh! Hark! I hear someone approaching. I must hide my notes.
I must hide my pineapple. Ah, it is merely Allison. How kind of you to join us, eventually.
Apologies, ladies. I was detained by my idiot brother, Robert. He is quite the stupidest man in the city. He had dressed up my mother's pug in a tiny kilt and was trying to make him dance. It all went wrong, and he ended up getting tangled in the curtains, falling into the fireplace, yelping in pain.
Oh, the poor wee dog.
No, I mean Robert. The dog was fine. It just joined me in tutting at Robert's stupidity. Now, what on earth is that lump up your skirt, Ishbel? Do you yet again have the Duke of Rothsay concealed beneath your dress?
No. It is my pineapple.
A pineapple? I never dreamt I should see one. Ishbel, it must have cost a fortune.
We are merely renting it for the night. My father has a house guest he wishes to impress.
Oh, who could fail to be impressed with a pineapple? Who is the esteemed man?
Some friend he was at Cambridge with, a Mr. Newton.
Oh, can it be true?
You've heard of him?
Heard of him? I love him.
Daddy says he prefers the company of men.
Who doesn't? Women are such trivial, gossiping idiots.
I don't think that was entirely what my father meant.
Who is this Mr. Newton?
The greatest natural philosopher of our times.
Oh, is he famous?
I regard all this natural philosophy with suspicion. I can't see this science thing catching on in Scotland.
I have extensively studied Mr. Newton's work. Look, here are all my calculations. Feel free to study them.
Maybe you could just talk us through the main points.
Some queries occur to me that I would love to put to him. For example, does the sun actually remain stationary in the sky? You are familiar with Kepler's third law.
Of course! Never trust a man with a beard.
No!
Never stand downwind of a Frenchman.
No!
Never put anything smaller than your elbow in your ear.
No!
If you do it standing up, you can't get pregnant.
No, Ishbel! Oh, if only there were someone I could talk to about my work.
Oh, who is it now? Put those calculations away. I'd better get this pineapple back up my skirt. Although it does chafe so.
Miss Ishbel, you appear to have some spiky leaves protruding from beneath your skirts.
What did you want, Kennedy?
Eh? Miss Allison, your brother's here. Mr. Rory. Reuben. Ranulph.
Robert?
Aye, Robert, that's him.
Very well, Kennedy. Show him in.
You've got to hide me. I'm terrified.
Oh, Robert, what is the matter?
Sis, can I hide under your skirts?
No!
You can pop up mine if you want. There is a bit of fruit up there, but there's still bags of room.
Dearest Robert, what troubles you?
There's a giant newt in the city. We are all doomed. We'll be eaten.
Robert, giant newts don't exist.
I think they do, actually. Some of the chaps said there's a giant newt in town.
Could they have said an intellectual giant called Isaac Newton?
Yeah, maybe.
An intellectual giant means a great thinker.
Are you sure? There's something poking out of Ishbel's skirts that looks a lot like a giant newt's dropping.
That's a pineapple.
Ah! Oh, Robert. Imagine a Scotsman being scared of fruit. We have rented it for the big dinner we're giving this evening for Mr. Newton. And if anything happens to it, I am confined to my quarters for a month. So it's very important that nobody... Robert, what are you chewing?
Oh, the skin's a bit of a challenge. Really chewy.
Robert!
What's happened to my face?
What's wrong with him?
I don't know. His lips seem to be swelling up.
It must be a reaction to the pineapple. Mr. Boggart suffers terribly with allergies. His are set off by dust and flowers and dogs and life.
Never mind about that. Robert's ruined my pineapple.
Oh, no. Well, maybe we can find a way to repair it.
If that's my father, he will kill me. Quick, hide the pineapple.
My ladies, a gentleman is here, Mr. Norton. No, Newton. No, Wonton.
Mr. Newton?
Yeah, I was about to say that. Now, he seems a bit cross about something.
Mr. Newton, here. I think I might faint. Oh, quick, Robert, take my calculations.
Ah, blast this cursed city. Infernal, miserable northern dump.
Mr. Newton, what ails you?
Well, the rain, madam. The rain and the seagulls. I've been in this gloomy place for only a few hours and I am drenched with rain. And to add insult to injury, a flock of birds have just defecated on my head. Oh, why do these things happen? It's as if there's some invisible force that draws things downward constantly. Oh, forgive me. I see you have company.
Oh, it's just some friends. We have a needlework club on Tuesdays.
Ladies, good morrow. What's wrong with this one? She's got a massive face and it's all red and blotchy.
No, sir. That is my brother, Robert. He cannot currently speak because he has...
What are those calculations you are holding, sir? Oh, no, I've dropped them. I'm such a confounded butterfingers. Oh, if only things would stay where they are when I let go of them rather than inexplicably dropping to earth. Why, these calculations are incredibly advanced.
Do you really think so?
Yes, this is extraordinary. They highlight some of the issues I myself have identified in Kepler's earlier work.
Really?
Oh, to grasp this at such a tender age, well, it takes a very special talent. Well done, sir.
It's very kind of you to say so.
For someone so young to have such knowledge, such insight, such skill.
Oh, I don't know about that. It was really nothing.
How dare you contradict me, madam? Your brother is a prodigy, a genius.
No! I wrote these.
What did you say, madam?
I said I wrote them.
Is this true, sir? Do you allow a woman of your house to study mathematics? Why, this is scandalous. The weaker sex has no business meddling in masculine matters. Do you care nothing for your family's honour? Explain yourself, man. Why can he not speak?
It is simply a reaction. He is mute, sadly. The only person who can understand him is his sister. She is merely the conduit for his genius. He uses these muffled groans to communicate, and Alison interprets his thoughts and writes them down.
Why does he not simply write them down himself?
He suffers from crippling finger gout.
All right, I see. Well, that makes perfect sense.
Mr. Newton, if you wish to discuss mathematics, I am sure Alison would be prepared to translate Robert's thoughts for you.
It would be my honour.
Very good. Please bring him to see me this afternoon. Now, I must away to find your father. Farewell!
Oh, careful on the way out. Some of the stonework above the door has become a bit...
Ouch! Damn it!
Loose.
Why does this keep happening?
He really is quite accident-prone, isn't he?
Oh, my. What have we done?
It was brilliant. Now you will get to discuss Mr. Newton's work exactly as you wished. Oh, Marjorie, thank you for your help. Finger gout.
Yes, that bit was very good. Quick thinking. Finger gout. Who ever heard of finger gout?
Mr. Boggart is constantly troubled with finger gout. That is why it sprang to mind.
Of course. Sorry, Marjorie. We merely have to ensure that Robert says nothing at all whilst he is in Mr. Newton's presence.
Yes. The slightest utterance would betray the fact that Robert is a complete and utter simpleton.
Hey, that's not fair. I am not a complete and utter pimple bum.
Yes, that's it, Robert. That's exactly what we want you to do.
Margaret!
Oh, no. Dear Robert, did you forget you're allergic to pineapple?
Oh, my pineapple! It's beyond repair! Kennedy, help!
Ken, the way to Kennedy's kitchen.
Ken, the way to Kennedy's kitchen. Kennedy, there's been a disaster.
What is it? Don't tell me it's raining.
No.
The silver spoons are tarnished.
No.
Civil war.
No.
Pestilence.
No.
Disease.
No.
Has the Black Death returned?
No, Kennedy.
Right, we will barricade ourselves in the room,
Kennedy,
and kill anyone who tries to come in.
No, Kennedy. I have merely damaged Father's pineapple. Look.
All right.
And Father will confine me to the house for a month. How will I get away to hook up with my men?
My men?
I mean, with the men. Many, many sick children that I visit.
Oh, what an angel. Anyway, what happened to this pineapple then? Was it damaged by that clumsy friend of your father's?
No, it was not Mr. Newton's fault. Robert ate some of it. Do you think you can repair it?
Oh, you know me. I can turn my hand to anything. They don't call me Capable Kennedy for nothing.
Do they call you that?
After all, consider how successfully I look after you.
Yes?
Your dear parents said to me, "Oh, Kennedy, make sure our daughter stays chaste and pure."
Well,
Make sure she doesn't get involved in any comic japes or capers or form a society for intellectual improvement with other young ladies. And that is exactly what I've done.
Right. Yes. Anyway, I'd better get back to my sewing circle upstairs and you get on with fixing my pineapple.
And we're off to Ishbel's garden.
Mr. Newton, my brother Robert is here to discuss his work with you. Would you rather we moved indoors?
No. This garden is the only place I feel safe in your revolting city. As I walked this morning, I was constantly assailed by intrusions from above. One cannot pass a tenement house without someone emptying bathwater or something worse over one's head.
I have often observed myself that if things are so attracted downwards to earth, then surely it might fall.
Will you stop your idle feminine chit-chat? I wish to discuss matters of great import with your brother. Good evening, sir.
Mm.
What a tragedy that such a clever young man cannot speak.
Yes, quite. Now...
Handsome, too.
Please, can we just get to work? Shall we sit here under this... apple tree.
Yes. No ill can befall us here. Now, I wish to discuss infinitesimal calculus. Is your brother aware of Signor Cavalieri's method of indivisibles?
Yes. Here are some of Robert's works on the quadrature formula.
Extraordinary. Are there no end to your talents, young man?
My brother does have one question about your method of fluxion.
Ah, it's so good to be able to talk about science. My time in this city so far has been entirely taken up with making small talk at ladies. Oh, they are such trivial ninnies. Don't you agree, Robert? I mean, I don't even think their brains are capable of rational thought.
Actually, my brother disagrees with you on this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. He says that some women are keen to improve themselves and learn all about the revolutions in our understanding of the world, and he feels that they should be encouraged.
Really? Is this true, Robert?
In fact, he feels that a woman's brain can be every bit as capable as a man's, and that it is a tragedy that women are encouraged to study painting, dancing, and singing, when they might usefully be engaged in intellectual pursuits to further the knowledge of mankind.
Sir, I cannot believe you are saying these things. These are preposterous ideas. Why, I should no more listen to a woman's opinion on matters of importance than I would a dog's or a Spaniard's.
Robert says that you are an insufferable old bore.
Outrageous! I want nothing more to do with you, sir. And I shall see that you are drummed out of civilized society. No man in Edinburgh shall have anything to do with you by the time I am finished.
Mr. Newton, pray be careful. Careful swinging your arms around like that. I think that massive apple above your head is about to...
Ow! Sir, it is such a shame you turned out to be a dangerous radical. And mute to boot. I fancied you might have been able to help me solve the problem of why things constantly fall to earth. Still, it is not to be. Farewell! Oh!
Robert, I am so sorry. I may have ruined your reputation in the city.
What was that fellow on about? Sounded very cross about something.
I just got a bit carried away.
Oh, well, sis, I'm sure it'll be fine.
Robert, he has vowed to drum you out of polite society.
Never mind. It's not like it means I won't be able to go to the club and see all my friends and play cards and do drinking games and show each other our willies.
That is exactly what it does mean.
Oh, bums. What can we do?
Let's find Ishbel. She will have a solution.
Later on, somewhere else, in Miss Ishbel's house.
So, Kennedy, did you manage to fix the pineapple?
I did. Here it is.
Wow. That's actually surprisingly good work, Kennedy.
Good? It's incredible.
How on earth did you do it?
I simply pinned it together with some thin spikes of wood. As long as you only view it from the front, it should be fine.
Wonderful. Well, put it somewhere people can see it, but not touch it.
Very good, madam.
Ah, Robert, Alison, how delightful to see you. How did it go with Mr. Newton?
I am afraid events took an unfortunate turn.
What happened?
Robert called Mr. Newton an insufferable old bore.
Robert!
Well, in fairness, it was really me. He said all women were witless nincompoops, and I got a bit cross. And now he's threatening to drum Robert out of polite society.
Oh, dear.
Later on!
Later on!
Later on!
Mr. Nelson is here.
Who?
Oh, no, not Nelson. Newsom. No, Nesbitt. No.
Mr. Newton?
That's him.
Oh, no. What are we going to do?
Leave it to me.
Miss Ishbel, I am furious. I have discovered that your friend, Mr. Robert, is an aggressive nonconformist with startling views about sexual equality. I am incandescent with rage.
Oh, don't slam the door. You'll disturb the collection of decorative plates we keep above it.
Confound it all! Why can nothing stay where it is put?
Well, that reminds me. Kennedy, is my precious pineapple securely protected somewhere?
Worry not, my lady. I stored it safely on that high shelf yonder, along with your father's collection of antique cannonballs. It is perfectly safe. I personally constructed that shelf myself. It is as solid as a castle rock itself, I assure you.
Do you know, I feel compelled to bang my head very hard against this wall to vent my fury.
Oh, it's wobbling.
There's no holding.
The shelf's coming down.
No,
no, no, no, no, no. Look out, Mr. Newton. What? Oh, no. There goes the pineapple.
Oh, no. Your father's balls have dropped in Mr. Newton's head.
Oh, dear. I think we might have killed him.
And more importantly, the pineapple smashed to smithereens. I shall never be allowed out of the house again. Edinburgh society shall be denied the sight of my marvellous bosom.
No. Wait. He's coming round.
What happened?
You were hit on the head by several cannonballs and a pineapple.
Damn it all. Why do these sorts of things keep happening to me?
A theory occurred to me whilst observing the objects falling on your head. Why do all things fall perpendicular to the ground? I wonder, might the same force that causes that phenomenon cause the moon to fall towards the earth and the earth toward the sun?
Yes, of course. There may be something in that.
If you will allow me to show you some calculations.
Yes. Why, this is quite correct.
I see you are impressed with the calculations of this witless nincompoop of a woman.
Yes, I must admit she is a very clever girl.
She didn't want you to know, but the mathematical calculations you thought were done by Robert were actually all her own work.
Remarkable.
I'm afraid that Robert is incredibly stupid. Famously so. In fact, if I throw the window open right now and I ask the people of Edinburgh, who is the stupidest man in the city?
Robert McGregor!
Oh, really? Actually, yeah, I probably am a bit dim.
You see, we girls have a secret club where we get together to study, but we must conceal it from everyone.
Well, I cannot say I approve of young ladies conducting themselves in this manner.
I beg of you to keep our secret safe. I derive so much pleasure from this club, and our families would surely ban it if they knew.
Perhaps I might consider keeping your secret.
Mr. Newton, you are a man of great vision. Can you not see that our whole understanding of the world is changing? Old ideas are giving way to new. Is it so inconceivable that one day women might be allowed an education?
Or a man might be allowed to marry another man?
I suppose we all have matters we wish to conceal.
Thank you, Mr. Newton.
This work of yours, young lady, this theory of...
Gravity?
Yes, the theory of gravity. It could make my name.
Really? You think so? Is it that important?
Oh, indubitably. If you were to allow me to claim ownership of it, then of course I should not reveal the secret of your club.
You would take all the credit, and Alison would get nothing.
Mr. Newton, I am simply delighted that I have helped you in your work. To know that my calculations have added to the sum of human knowledge is reward enough for me.
Very good, madam.
Although, I would ask that you make it abundantly clear to Ishbel's father that it was in no way her fault that the pineapple got smashed.
I will do so.
Hurrah! My magnificent bosom can roam free once more. Now, you can all help me clean up for the banquet, but first, let's all enjoy these morsels of smashed fruit. Ladies and gentlemen, our first taste of pineapple.
Oh, it's delicious. So exotic. Makes me feel quite...
Oh, no. Here I go again. I really must remember not to eat this stuff.
Alison, everything has come good thanks to your genius idea about gravy.
Gravity.
Yeah, whatever. You and Mr. Newton must explain it to us sometime.
We could do it now.
Yes. You see, the abiding principle is a complex...
I've had a thought. If one takes the thin wooden sticks Kennedy used to repair it, one can pick up the cubes of pineapple and then skewer something else alongside them. Cheese, perhaps.
Oh, now, that is genius.
Intellectuals, a club of high degree. The Ishbel and Alison and Gurween Marjorie. And we're all gone east and west, we're all gone IAG. Ishbel and Alison and Gurween Marjorie.
The Fair Intellectual Club is written by Lucy Porter and directed by Madeline Inree. It stars Jessica Hardwick as Alison, Caroline Dager as Ishbel, Samara McLaren as Marjorie, Simon Donaldson as Robert, Gordon Kennedy as Kennedy, and Gavin Mitchell as Mr. Newton. The music is arranged and played by Ali McRae. The producer is Gordon Kennedy, and it is an absolutely production for BBC Radio 4.